Romans chapter 2. The Jews also must fear judgment. Therefore, you have no excuse, whoever you are, if you are able to judge others. For in judging your neighbor, you condemn yourself, for you practice what you are judging. We know that the condemnation of God will justly reach those who commit these things. And do you think that by condemning others, you will escape from the judgment of God, you who are doing the same? This would be taking advantage of God and his infinite goodness, patience, and understanding, and not to realize that his goodness is in order to lead you to conversion. If your heart becomes hard and you refuse to change, then you are storing for yourself a great punishment on the day of judgment, when God will appear as just judge. He will give each one his due according to his actions. He will give everlasting life to those who seek glory, honor, and immortality, and persevere in doing good. But anger and vengeance will be the lot of those who do not serve truth, but injustice. There will be suffering and anguish for everyone committing evil, first the Jew, then the Greek. But God will give glory, honor, and peace to whoever does good, first the Jew, then the Greek, because one is not different from the other before God. Everyone is judged by his conscience. Those who, without knowing the law, committed sin, will perish without the law. And whoever committed sin knowing the law will be judged by the law. What makes us righteous before God is not hearing the law, but obeying it. When the non-Jews who do not have the law practice naturally what the law commands, they are giving themselves a law, showing that the commandments of the law are engraved in their minds. Their conscience, speaking within them, also shows it when it condemns or approves their actions. The same is to happen on the day when God, according to my gospel, will judge people's secret actions in the person of Jesus Christ. But suppose you call yourself a Jew. You have the law as foundation and feel proud of your God. You know the will of God, and the law teaches you to distinguish what is better. And so you believe you are the guide for the blind, light in darkness, a corrector for the foolish, and instructor of the ignorant, because you possess in the law the formulation of true knowledge. Well then, you who teach others, why don't you teach yourself? If you say that one must not steal, why do you steal? You say one must not commit adultery, yet you commit it. You say you hate idols, but you steal into their temples. You feel proud of the law, yet you do not obey it, and you dishonor your God. In fact, as the scripture says, the other nations despise the name of God because of you. Circumcision is of value to you if you obey the law. But if you do not obey, it is as if you were not circumcised. On the contrary, if those who are uncircumcised obey the commandments of the law, do you not think that, in spite of their being pagans, they make themselves like the circumcised? The one who obeys the law without being marked in his body with circumcision will judge you who have been marked with circumcision and who have the law which you do not obey. For external things do not make a true Jew, nor is real circumcision that which is marked on the body. A Jew must be so interiorly. The heart's circumcision belongs to spirit and not to a written law. He who lives in this way will be praised, not by people, but by God.